We are so lucky and happy that this week, former head coach of England Hockey Under 18 Girls and now senior assistant to the Irish Women, Sarah Kelleher, is on the podcast. Sarah is an elite coach and is part of an elite group of coaches using match play cards at the top level. Let's make 2023 the year of games, the year where we play more games than ever. And our challenge to you is to share as match play cards as far away as possible with as many coaches and as many teachers to bring the game to life. As ever, thanks so much for being game changers and loving match play cards and just getting involved. We're so lucky to have you. On to the podcast.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
There you go. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm living the dream. I can't complain at all. Incredibly grateful for your time. I had a look recently of when you got them, Sarah, and it was 2019, which kind of seems a lifetime, but also not so long ago as well. And yeah. I guess there's a couple of connection points of obviously you coached my sister and then Amy Plum and Robin Thompson and a few of those girls come through. Yeah. And I remember they came in on a Monday morning after an 18s camp and, you know, I said to the girls, I like, you know, how was it? Like, what did you get up to? What did you do? And I said, yeah, like, we just had to do much more thinking than we'd normally ever do. And I said, oh, yeah, how did that happen? And I always kind of don't ask too many questions, but keep it super open. Yep. And I think it was Amy said, yeah, Sarah, like, got these cards out. And we started using these cards and there are some team challenges and this and that. And I thought, oh, okay, kind of, all right, this makes sense. And I said, oh, yeah, what do they say on the back? And they said, oh, yeah, the coaching lab and match play cards. And I said to the girls, okay, yeah, that's me. And they said, oh, what, really?
That's brilliant.
So there's a couple of
connection
points there. Yeah. But so the first question would be, you're an elite coach working with an elite group of players in that environment, the top under 18s in that space. Why would you maybe need a deck of cards or what's the curiosity around that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of theming and storytelling, it definitely, if we think about how we're wired, our brains and how we think, we make most of our decision making, you know, through that sort of, they talk about system one thinking, it's automatic, it's storytelling. And you need engagement at the heart of your training sessions. And you want to probably lift people out of their everyday and sometimes surprise and delight and twists and turns. And if you look at the idea of flow, flow comes from engagement, flow comes from those twists and turns, and the cards give you this ready-made, but there's something about the idea of just giving something to somebody that they sort of hold and they have to then understand and work with others. But also you can give them choice. So you can give them three cards to pick and they feel that they have choice. And we know that great learning happens through choice as well, even if it's maybe scaffold and it's, you know, there's a framework around those choices. So I think they tick a lot of the boxes around good learning environments within it. But then you can be very specific about what you're coaching as well. I loved your example of the owl. Like, you know, the great players have vision and to be able to pre-scan. We often talk about full pitch vision and seeing in front of you, seeing behind you. And, you know, I love your be the owl 360, you know, turn your head. And you think that, you know, it's only young people enjoy these aspects, but I think we all like to play and have playfulness. And like I work a lot in business as well, and bringing playfulness into business is a big part of getting people to think more creatively, unlocking that creativity. So, I mean, we play sports, so surely we should bring play into sport as part of it. So I think there's endless uses, and then you can bring your own creative lens on top of it and theme it. So, you know, at club we had like a Wonder Woman Wednesday with the under 18s. We had a camp, you know, Cam and the Chaos, finding your flow, a good mix of everything that allows you to create the right environment for learning and thinking, like you said there, with some of the under 18 players coming back into your environment. Yeah
definitely. And what is that scaffolding, or what is the role of the coach? So to me, one of the biggest misconceptions of using games and maybe even using the cards is the role of the coach is removed, or that, okay, they're playing a game, so they must be learning. But you said that, okay, let's have three cards and they pick three. What is the role or the decision making of the coach to say it's these three and this is maybe the person I'm going to ask to select those cards?
Yeah, so like we would, I give you an example of sort of like finding flow And we want people to play going forward and fast. So you might have, you might use the sort of lava floor card. You've only 3 seconds to be in a space. And everybody then has to move out of that space within 3 seconds, or, you know, in the good lava world, you know, you are extinct from that game in that moment. So again, it's very purposeful around what you're trying to achieve. And then you might, you know, you might give the task, we'll use armbands at times as well, and say who on your team is going to, you know, wear this armband. And if they do, you'll get double points. And then the players have to think about who on their team is going to break a line and be able to maybe a turn and burn game, get from one end to the other more than others. So they actually then have to start thinking about the attributes of individual on their team as well. So I think it's very purposeful. And I think the role of your coach is to know what your purpose is, to be able to engage players in that purpose, and then to be really observant, noticing what you might need to tweak, or what questions you might need to do, or what choices you might put in front of players. So I think it's a very active process. You know, you're kind of working at a higher level of awareness when you're in that space, because you're not just in tell mode, you're really noticing what's happening and seeing how you can tweak it and seeing if it's on track, or if it's not, what might need to change, and asking the players what they feel might need to change as well. Maybe it is the pitch size, or what the rule of the game is, or what you're scoring. But you've got to add and help the competition dial. You know, you want people to find that, you know, will to win whatever it is you're doing, and keep that competition aspect in there, but in the right type of way, that they're growing at the same time. So I think it's a very active role. You're really a facilitator within that, and an observer and a noticer in that context of what's happening and what needs to change.
Yeah, and I don't think we're saying that we're using these every single minute of every single hour of every single session. And I don't think that's the right way to use any of that sort of stuff, because I think it's around context, but it's also, okay, we're going to add some challenge, and then we remove that level while they're making the same decision without that stimulus of the cards there. So my question to you would be, where did the cards fit, and where does that games fit? Is games, okay, with something we do at the start and at the end of a session? Is it something we do in the middle or over a program? Where did the cards fit?
Yeah, I mean, I think would very much think about linked sessions. And then obviously, you know, if you think about the journey you're on over a period, you know, whether that's a season or whether that's, you know, a development phase of a program or as pre-competition, you're thinking about that overarching element of what you're trying to achieve at the highest level, and then how you bring people on that journey, and how every training session and however camp or involvement, because it's not just you arriving at the training, it's what you do before and after. That's really important. How you prime and how you then reflect is really crucial. I think, you know, ideally you're, you know, when you're in a linked session, that you're able to technically develop and tactically develop, because context is everything. You know, learning, you know, a certain skill without the context doesn't stick as well. So your aim is to obviously bring that people in that link session, maybe from a sort of more technical element, a small unit play, into something that looks and feels like a game context, so that you're testing that learning as well, because you want it to stick. And then obviously you've got to layer it. There's no, you know, you don't do a job in one session. It's, you've got to come back to it. You've got to see how it turns up when you go out and play matches, and they're often a great test of time. So I think in terms of how you would use cards then, I think it's around, it really is depending on what you're looking to achieve, you know, and it might be that you're looking to give individuals missions around the area of focus, around areas that they need to work on or develop, you know. So for you, it might be, you know, that idea of breaking a line or going forward in every first touch. And you have, decision making is crucial though, because there's times when it doesn't make sense to go forward, but you're rewarding the good behaviors and you're rewarding the people that you're trying to do these things, and actually celebrating the failure that goes with it. So you can bring that individual lens into the, maybe some of the technical shaping, but then the sort of the, how do you then put it into context? And it may be picking out a few key cards to put it into constraint-led game that you're looking to play. But I do think there's something around surprise and delight. I think, you know, if you use them every single time, people don't have the same level of engagement. So it's about picking your time around when the theme is right for that session.
I think prime certain players differently to others, in a way of, I look at some environments that have used the cards and it'd be the kid that might be a little bit slower in their thinking and needs a bit more time to be a little bit more theoretical and a bit more time just to plan things. Actually, they would give that card to the kids the night before in sort of an international camp where there's, all right, we train for 2 hours a day, but there's still 22 hours of the day where we're not doing as much. So, okay, here's a card and how are we going to play this tomorrow? What's that going to look like? Compared to some players, you might just give it to them within 1 minute, 2 minutes, and suddenly they've got to share that information in the game, on the run, and think very quickly. So what does that priming look like for you in a wider context?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you know, if we can add video to your priming, I think that can be a really good aspect. I mean, I think a lot of people, it's a key way they learn now as well. So I think adding stimulus around your topic is, you know, sending some videos of what it looks like when it's really good, so people get that visual sense. You know, maybe there's a mindset piece that goes with what you're looking. If you're working on something defensive, and it's maybe you're looking at working on intercepting and being able to play back to front, long balls off the intercept, and kind of outlet to outcome ideas, you might want to show some good clips. But then you might want to show an interview with a player, you know, a role model that's talking about what allow them to have the courage to intercept. Because again, I always say, let's say a skill like intercepting, unless you really try it and do it and get it wrong, you're never going to really, you know, build that skill. So it's around getting the mindset that goes with that session as well. And there's probably somebody in the group who's really good at it as well, and maybe getting them to share, you know, their journey of how they've become so good at it. So you're priming all of that and making people feel excited and rewarding that behavior and celebrating the mistakes on it. Because, you know, I think it's really interesting if you look at people who can, staying with the sort of intercepting team, they read the game really well. They can see their timing is really good. So it's one of those, I think, sort of higher order skill, because you've read a situation to be able to intercept that ball, and you've been able to cleanly control it at pace and at speed, and then you can go fast into attack. So it's something that we want everyone to develop, you know, within that, and to take risks. So there's a risk reward, which is what hockey is about and sport is about. What's my risk and reward, and when do I do it and when don't I do it, and understanding the context of that. So I think being creative around priming, and of course sometimes you don't have any time to do that, and you just got to prime it in the moment. And how can you be engaging in how you're going to set up that session, you know, in the most, you know, way that people feel that they're going to get something out of this. And that's where I think sessions that are very purposeful about their focus are the ones that are most engaging, rather than trying to cover everything or too much. You know, be really focused of the 2-3 things are the one thing that you want to get from that session. And there'll be other coaching that might be going on around that, but you as a coaching team and as a coach, knowing that that's the piece that you're holding in the center of all your attention and the player's attention at that time. And so the priming should put a light on that point of focus in an engaging way.
I asked the girls and my sister kind of 3 words, what would they say about your environment and your sessions? And I guess the common themes were experience, ownership, and games.
There you go.
Is that reflective?
Yeah, I think I definitely think ownership is really important. It should be an experience. And if we can put things into game context and have fun enjoying those games, I think there's a huge amount of learning within that. So, yeah, I think I would be pleased with those 3 words. Yeah.
And you mentioned themes a little bit. What would be some of those themes that you would explore, and what would that look like? And maybe even if you can remember some of the cards that would have gone into those and the context of those theme days.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my cards all over there now, the whole piles of them. So I think, with the under 18 journey, we themed the whole year. When we looked with developing under 18 players, it was very much around underpinning it, the sort of play fast, play forward, play hard, but then storytelling went across everything, and we had a band of storytellers to help tell our story of our experiences for every camp. But we would have themes around creativity, the finding flow, visionary would have been another theme within that as well. So, and I think it's interesting now because I think you hear a lot about theming within it. And I think it really does have to be very purposeful and bringing players on that, you know, engagement. So one of the themes would have been around that champion mindset, another around grit. So there you would really be looking at like what's the science behind this as well, and then you're layering mindset into what you do on a hockey pitch and vice versa, because ultimately what you're doing is you're training for those big moments in games, which could go either way. And can we win those moments? Can we be gritty? Can we be champion mindset? What does that look like from a hockey perspective?
Wrap up, I've chosen a couple of cards and I'm curious as to what you think, where they would fit and maybe who you'd give them to and when. So I've got originality. Nice, I like it. Originality, the same goal can't be scored twice.
Oh, I've used that one plenty. Yeah. So that's definitely, the goal scoring, like I ran this session recently around goal scoring and used all your cards. I should send you some photographs of it or around it. And so, again, I think creativity is fantastic. If you're looking at a creativity camp, that's a fabulous one to have within it. And that creativity around goal scoring. And it's a great one to start celebrating and hooping when people then do something that's really creative. And you start seeing people score goals that they never would have thought of. So it's, and then you can link that to, you know, understanding how goals are scored and what are the stats around where goals are scored. So we know the 7-yard area, a lot of goals are scored in that area. We know that actually flat balls in with diving can be really good, one touch goals. So you start then layering in the type of techniques that are going to be really useful, you know, a backspace, falling to the ground goal, you know, spin goals. So, and again, showing some videos of those beforehand can be really good to get people creatively thinking of that. And can you invent your own? So yeah, a favorite card for sure.
Yeah, and I sometimes give it to one team, but don't give it to the other team. So that one team that's always got the kid that can hit the backhand or hits the forehand really well, they're expecting that type of shot every single time. And they set up to defend that type of shot. And then suddenly, okay, if we can't score the same type of goal twice, you know, those defending players have got to play against something different as well.
Yeah, I'm liking working on the upright reverse currently. I'm really enjoying working on that, you know. So even myself messing around. So, yeah.
Awesome. And then the last one I've gone for is pressure. Score within 45 seconds of scoring your last goal and it's worth triple.
Yeah, so I think they're really useful for scenarios around how to find ways to win and giving people a time-bound aspect. So definitely would use those cards massively around, you know, last goal, X amount of time, similar to sometimes the basketball rules that you can, you know, you get into the other half, you have to get an outcome within 30 seconds, you know, some of that aspect. So you're putting a time pressure within that. And then I think that helps people when they know they get to key times in games that they've done this a million times and they know how to find a way to win in those moments of pressure when they need to get an outcome, they need to get a win. And when they do, it feels fantastic. It's a great feeling. And that's part of that engagement piece. You want people to love the feeling of succeeding with that pressure goal at that point. And they, you know, you see then teams under massive pressure turning the goods at those points, and you know you have to train for those moments. So yeah, and it's great when you achieve them. Yeah,
definitely. My last question is, from when a boy, girl, whoever comes into the start of your program to when they leave your program, either graduate onto whatever that looks like next for them and involved in the cards, games, that whole experience, what skills do they leave with?
Yeah, so I think from a hockey perspective, in possession would very much around have good ball carry so that they can have really good vision look to really have the ability to receive in flow going forward, to break lines, know how to use good deception to create opportunities. I think that comes from ball carry, and be very creative around how they might use their skills, and obviously honing the basics within that so that they can have that platform to play from. I think from a defending point of view, it's really that, that I suppose there's a patience to good defending, that sort of stay in the game, you know, knowing when to, it's a cat and mouse game. You're waiting for the attacker to make a decision, you know, for you to then steal that ball, but you're dictating, you're dominating, you're a gritty defender, you're making their life really difficult. So you're intercepting balls, you're putting in clean tackles, you're disrupting them. You love the battle in the circle, the box out battle. You love winning those moments. And so that sort of, I suppose that links then to your tactical awareness, that you enjoy being able to be part of a team that looks to outplay the opposition by changing shape and being fluid and being maybe unpredictable at times around that. But also I would hope they've grown as people and learned a lot about themselves and had grown their character that will, you know, stand to them in life, whether they're, you know, ever go on and play hockey again or not, but that they have a joy for playing in the team and working with others that they hold on to. Because I think, you know, if you come from a place of joy, you're definitely going to grow and love what you do more. So I think the joy of the game hopefully will be there, and they want to continue playing, and they go on to be a better person off the back of the experiences they've had with their teammates, because there's nothing like it, working together with a group of people, the ups and the downs and how you support each other. It really, you know, it stands to you in life.
I don't think there's any better place than to finish there. And I think it's so nice to have someone that believes in commitment, ownership and responsibility in games, but actually practices it and preaches it and delivers it. I think so often we see environments where, okay, yeah, I give players ownership, but they're the coach that keeps on talking for the whole of halftime, or they say they play games, but the games is the last thing they do in a session. So it's so nice to, and we're so grateful that you know, use the cards along your journey to bring that to life. And yeah, thanks very much.
But Jack, I must also say, I'm also using your cards in business context. So in the leadership meetings, I'm working with like executive leadership teams, and I'll bring the cards in and give them challenges and missions and talk about how we use them in sport, and say that they should use the same in terms of the practice of being a high performing team. So some of your kind of cards around asking questions or listening, and some of those cards that may be less hockey specific, or, you know, who was the hero here today, or, you know, what would your opposition be thinking about you? Some of those questions. And so giving people in business and leadership like missions themselves, you know, so in this, I'm going to just ask questions, or I'm just going to listen, or, and they're going down a treat. So I just want to say thank you to that as well, Jack.